Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is prime time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. Now, as the Singapore government starts to ease default working arrangements, businesses need to adapt their technologies and digital strategies accordingly. For SMEs who are still recovering from the pandemic and receiving digital support from the government, how can they ensure their digital infrastructure remains strong and flexible enough to accommodate the return of employees while staying prepared for any changes as the situation continues to evolve? For more insights, we speak to Bidan Roy, who's Managing Director, Head of Commercial and Small Business, Asia Pacific and Japan and Greater China at Cisco. Bidan, always a pleasure. It's been some time.
Absolutely, Howie. Thanks for having me back.
So all of that sounds really easy. How to survive? Ensure your infrastructure is strong, ensure you're flexible enough, and ensure you're prepared for evolving situations. But it's really not that simple, is it?
Absolutely well articulated, Howie. It's absolutely not simple. Just imagine what has happened in the last 12 to 14 months time, like that, the way we have worked. Work is no more about where we go, but what we do. So it's completely changed. And that has really taken a huge toll on not just employees, but it has also taken the employers to step back and think as to how they got to prepare themselves, both from an infrastructure as well as from a cultural standpoint, when they bring back employees to office. Just to give across some data sets, while we did some survey that towards the end of calendar year last year, we found it out that close to 41% of small, medium enterprises in Asia Pacific rated remote working to be very, very important for success and growth. So I firmly believe that there will be something called a hybrid working that is going to exist for quite some time as we move on.
Let's talk about then the kinds of tech that SMEs can acquire to help with that productive, innovative, and safe environment for their employees.
Sure. As we have already gone ahead and experienced in the last 12, 14 months, and more so by small, medium enterprises, one of them is definitely technology that promotes collaboration, promotes human connection, so which is nothing but video conferencing, audio conferencing, exactly what we are going through right now, that you are in a different office or probably working from home. For me, after a long time, I'm back in office, but I'm just probably the only person in this office, in this floor of mine. But this has already become a new norm. So one is that somewhere we can quickly log into a call and have a collaborative one. The number two is that there's going to be a lot of platforms that's going to be brought in, which will foster better collaboration, but also a tool or a platform that we can share notes, we can brainstorm it, because gone are those days that we are in can only rely on a on-site whiteboarding session. We need to go ahead and do those digital boarding. The underlying factor in terms of technology that needs to be very closely looked upon, and this is something which you and me have spoken about completely in a different context for SMEs pre-COVID, was security. So security is going to bind everything together. The third thing that comes to my mind, and this is very relevant as people are getting back to work in some form or shape, which is about how do we ensure that our employees return to work safely? How do we ensure that we have got the proper workplace monitoring, be it cameras that can really detect and tell what's the number of people in a particular room or in a particular floor, video conferencing solutions like WebEx, who can automatically detect and say that, hey, you have exceeded the number of people in this particular location. Some people may like to step out. So those are kind of thing, technologies that's going to be much more prevalent, irrespective of size of company, be it a large or a small, medium enterprise.
And how accessible is this tech, though, let's say to the smaller enterprise, which always faces cash flow issues, right?
Good question, Howie. And I must say that right now, as we speak, it is very, very inexpensive. The reason it is because, of course, pre-COVID, I would not say it was very expensive, but the value proposition for it was not that high for small, medium enterprises, because a lot of companies and employees were meeting face-to-face. Given what the pandemic has done to all of us in our organizations, now the value proposition is much higher. And at the same point of time, a lot of companies gone ahead and made these solutions very bite-sized for small, medium enterprises to be able to absorb. In short, it's absolutely, absolutely affordable. And it's all coming across in a very recurring format. You don't have to really go out and put across a huge CapEx cost structure in place to access it.
The thing that's come up, though, Bidan, is that you don't want to slap one app on after another, implement one system on after another. There has to be some kind of cohesive strategy, right?
Absolutely. You are correct. And that's one of the reasons why it becomes very critical for especially employers. And I would call it out specifically out here, the SME owners or the leaders in small, medium enterprises to take a step back and think about what's that digital strategy. And it encompasses broadly two things in my mind. One is what's your IT strategy for your employees? Because now no more employees are going to only work from office. They're going to work from anywhere. And the second piece of it is that what's your digital strategy for the business as overall? Because your business is no more going to be in a particular location. People are going to, your customers or your partners, your suppliers are going to interact with you in a lot more digital channels rather than the physical channels. So it is very critical for SME owners and leaders to take a step back and think about this particular IT strategy or digital strategy, which is a much broader term, and try to put across things in place. Because last year, a lot of the small, medium enterprises especially, had to put things in place in a very quick, because everybody was in reacting mode. Mm. But now that we know that this is going to stay, I think we all need to take across very proactive steps and very well thought out steps. Mm.
How do you think SMEs are coping as employees gradually return? From the beginning of April, we started to return and some 75% of the workforce can return. What are the challenges they're facing maybe?
So how we let's accept the fact that SMEs, or for that matter, any company and employees are going to potentially face difficulties, because adopting to new guidelines is not just adopting, because it's a completely new way of working and a new way of living. This was absolutely validated by the Future of Secure Remote Work study that we did, which revealed that close to 32% of small businesses and 36% of medium businesses expect remote work arrangements to continue post-COVID. And it's like double the number what it was pre-COVID. SMEs therefore need to modify their expectations. They need to rethink about how do they reorient the complete working arrangements in order for people to have better interactions, which could be both physical and virtual. So far, as employees working from home or working from any other place other than office, we have really come a long way. And that particular acceptability has gone in that, yes, I can work from anywhere. Now it is up to a lot to the leaders in the organizations and the employers to try and see that how I bring back my employees, ensure I have the right infrastructure, but also very importantly, how do we ensure that we have the right culture? How do I ensure that I have the right metrics, the success metrics, and the expectations been set across so that an employee does not feel that if he or she is working from home versus someone working from office is being left out? How do we really create that inclusive future for all? And this is something which we lead in our organization so significantly, that how do we ensure that we include all irrespective? Because gone are those times when everyone's going to be in office. Moving on, there would be at least one participant in a meeting who would be joining remotely. So we need to ensure that how do we really bring that across, bring that employer, set of employees who are joining remotely, inclusive both technologically and culturally.
So in light of those new government guidelines, what do you think is the work arrangement that best works, so to speak? I understand, obviously, it'll be different for each organization, but generally.
I think you said the first part of it, right? It's going to be very different. I would probably like to say, even in small, medium enterprises, it's going to vary by two parameters, at least. One, by size, because we usually bundle across a lot of companies under small, medium business segment, and that's okay. But there are companies, smaller companies, who have probably 10 employees, there are companies who have 50, and there are companies with probably 200 employees. Now, the way they get back to work and the way they are going to have their working arrangements while people get back to office is going to be very different from a 5 versus a 50. Imagine like in a 50-employee-based company wherein people were probably earlier working in a very open environment. And now this objective of social distancing, 1 meter distancing or 6 feet distancing between two employees can put people back into cubicles, can put people back into different locations that could be a little bit of a creepy for people to operate, because earlier they operated a small medium enterprise, operated like everybody sitting around the same table and working. So we need to start thinking about how do we really reorganize those kind of places? How do we ensure probably we find those corners which would foster collaboration through technology? And then how do we have some open spaces wherein people feel comfortable really working on themselves, and then probably create some meeting rooms for or small huddle rooms that we can put across two or three employees. The second parameter that I would like to refer to is a lot of these things are also going to change by vertical and our industry. And what I mean by that is that a lot of airline industry and hence SMEs associated with airline industries are probably not going to come back for even for a longer period of time. They are still probably going to work from home. Likewise, a lot of fintech, financial services, and hence the small medium businesses that's aligned to fintech and financial services probably going to continue to work from home or a hybrid environment because their work can be still delivered remotely. They are going to utilize still a lot of technologies. The same goes for a lot of IT companies. But for retail and manufacturing, they need to probably be the first ones to get back to work and probably already started getting back to work, especially places like Singapore. In those places, we need to probably try and look at it as to how people can take shifts, how people ensure that there is enough and more, as I was talking about, the workplace monitoring intact, so that people and employees feel very safe to be getting back to work. And that's going to be very, very critical.
How do you think all of this change and flux and continuing evolution has changed work culture within SMEs? And without consistency, that's hard to evolve a work culture, so to speak.
Well, I would say, Howie, that it has definitely taken a huge toll on everyone. But at the same point of time, the positives of it is that it has definitely make a lot of people more empathetic, bringing across more compassion to the table. And that's going to be the critical success factor as we move on. In the past year, what we have seen is that technology has become such an important enabler for growth, not just for a big company, which used to be there even pre-COVID, but even for a smaller organization. I think in the last 12 to 14 months, it has taught us that it's not just technology is no more just a thing for us to differentiate against our competitor. It's the in thing. It's the prerequisite for a particular business. And as we move on, as you just asked about this particular question about that, how it is going to really impact the new phase of work, I think it's going to impact in multiple ways. One of the things that I could think about is in terms of the hiring trends. How are we going to hire in future, depending upon the type of work an individual does? Because now there are three types of work that people can do: completely on-site, a hybrid, and completely remote. And the hiring trends are going to really be different as we move on. Just to give you across a little bit of a data set, 35% of job vacancies last year involved work that could be done remotely. And this is a report released by none other than our own Ministry of Manpower on 9th of April. So employees have started realizing that how critical it is remote working, and employers have started realizing that how critical it is to train employees about digital skills. In just 2 weeks, about 11,000 people have signed up for free webinars under the Smart Nation and EU event. What's really going to differentiate both employees and employers and to do their own bit here is the importance of learning and development. As employers, how do we ensure that our employees have the right skills, digital skills? And as an employee, how do I ensure that I'm in the forefront, always have that curiosity of learning?
Bidan, as always, we could go on forever about this. Thanks so much for your insights.
Thanks for your time too, Javi.
Bidan Roy, Managing Director, Head of Commercial and Small Business, Asia Pacific, Japan and Greater China at Cisco. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.